الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. وبعد، my dear brothers and sisters, we were continuing with the series on Ibadah and Taqwa, and as I mentioned, we began with reflecting on the fact that Ibadah is not an end in itself. Ibadah is something we do for a purpose, to achieve something, and that something is Taqwa. The purpose of all ibadah is to develop taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Taqwa is not fear of Allah, but fear of displeasing the one we love the most. And we spoke about how taqwa is the combination of khashyatullah and the hub of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the muhabbat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then we talked about what is it that forces us or compels us or encourages us to go against taqwa, which is to commit sin. And we said there are two major things that do it. Both of these are aided and abetted by shaitan. One is our nafs and our own desires. And yesterday we talked about how the following the desire in opposition to the hukum of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is actually shirk, and how it is something which is so deplorable. And the second one which compels us or forces us or encourages us to commit sin is our friends, is the peer group, is the pressure group, it's the people that we want to be with. Any group has entry conditions. Any group, whether it's a political party, whether it's a club, whether it's association, whatever, everything has, there are some entry conditions. Some of these entry conditions are formal. For example, if you want to become a member of a political party or you want to join an organization, then you have to actually give an application and fulfill certain conditions. Some of these entry conditions are informal. They are not formal, but they're informal. And this happens with our friends. Difference if you are when you are in school and college, and even later on when you are in your workplace and so on, you find that there are different groups of friends who have different entry conditions. None of them are formally stated up front, but these are entry conditions. For example, there are friends who there is unconditional pressure on you or unconscious pressure on you to dress in a certain way. Otherwise, you know, you can't hang out with us, you're too square. There is pressure on you, for example, nowadays you don't see that much of it, at least in this country, because people have become anti-smoking. But otherwise, unless you smoked, you can't be part of that group, because everyone smokes. Further, you know, with greater spiritual development, you find people who, unless you drink, you can't be part of that group, or unless you are onto some kind of drugs or whatnot. But even if that doesn't happen, at least, so there are different groups. There are groups which have different entry conditions. And these entry conditions are, as I said, they're not form. Nobody asks you to fill out a form. But this is well known. And if you don't do those things, then you are not part of that group. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned two kinds of friends. In Surah Az-Zukhruf, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned the good friends. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajeem. الْأَخِلَّاءُ يَوْمَئِذٍ بَعْدُهُمْ لِبَعْدٍ عَدُوٌ إِلَّا الْمُتَّقِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that friends and akhilla, Allah has used the plural of khalil. So in friendship, in Arabic, there are many ways, many words to describe levels of friendship. You know, there's like an acquaintance or somebody who's just a casual friend, and somebody who is a deeper friend, and someone who's an extremely close friend from whom there are no secrets, and who is with you all the time. Now that kind of a friend is called Al-Khalil. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made Ibrahim alayhi salam Khalilullah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was Khalilullah. So the Khalil, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said about Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu, he said that if Allah had permitted me to take as a Khalil, then I would have taken Abu Bakr as my Khalil radiallahu anhu. So Allah used this word Akhillah, which is the plural of Khalil. And Allah said that on the day of judgment, Al-Akhillau Yawma Izin, on the day of judgment, Ba'aduhum li Ba'adin Adu. They will be friends which are so close in this world, the ones who you consider to be your Khalil, on the day of judgment will be enemies to one another. They will not only not recognize, but they will be enemies to one another. They will actually be your enemy. The closest friend will become your enemy on the day of judgment, illa al-muttaqeen, except the muttaqeen. Now, Allah is describing the real value of friendship. Who is your friend? Not just the one who hangs out with you in the bar or in the disco or in your party or whatnot. Is the one who will still be around on the day of judgment, and he will still be your friend on that day. So see this ayat of Surah Al-Zukhruf. Al-akhillahu yawma idhin ba'aduhum li ba'adin adu illa al-muttaqeen. Allah said, except the muttaqeen. So therefore, it is a very important thing for us to have good friends. And as I said, boundary conditions, entry conditions are also there with good friends. So the entry condition with good friends is that you do good things, you participate in good things. When the time of Salah comes, the good friends will automatically get up for Salah, and obviously you also get up for Salah. And the way they dress, the way they talk, the way they do certain kind of language, for example, in schools and colleges today, one of the things that many people complain about, I don't know about India, but certainly in the West, they complain about absolutely filthy, lousy language between kids. It's cursing all the time. Right? It's considered to be as part of growing up, as part of being a man, that you should be able to curse. And so therefore, using of bad language is almost a requirement to be a group of those friends. But if you are with good people, the opposite is a requirement. If you say something, by mistake, then automatically you feel ashamed. People look at you like, what's wrong with you? Why do you talk like this? So the benefit of good friends is not only in this world, but also in the Akhirah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also mentioned the other side. In Surah Al-Furqan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, about the friend, the person will say, Ya waylata laytani lam attaqiz fulanan khalila. Laqad adallani ani dhikri ba'da idh ja'ani wa kana shaytanu lil insani khazula. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, the friend will say, woe to me. He will curse himself. He said, woe to me. Would that I had never taken so-and-so as a friend. He will mention the friend by name. He'll say, woe to me, I wish I did not have this person as my friend. Imagine what kind of, how terrible that is. The person will say, and the ayat before that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, they will bite their hands in regret until their elbows. Can you imagine? I mean, they will bite their hands in regret until their elbows. That they will be so sad and so regretful that I wish I did not have this person for a friend. And the person will say, he indeed led me astray from the reminder, which is the Quran, after it had come to me. And shaitan is ever a deserter to man in the hour of need. So, issue of friends. A bad friend is somebody who you will regret. Not obviously that bad friend is bad for you in this world, even if you don't recognize that. But a bad friend is somebody who you will regret having had that person as a friend on the day of judgment. And of course, there's no point in regretting on the day of judgment because there's nothing you can do about it. That's done, signed, sealed. So the issue of bad friends is so serious. Now think about this. A lot of times, many things we do and we participate in, sometimes, even though we may not even want to do that. Take for example, ghiba. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said very clearly, the one who is talking, he's actually saying those things, and the one who's listening to that are both equally guilty of ghibat. Now many times we will sit and we will not get up from the gathering because of we feel, oh, people might be offended. They might think, oh, this fellow thinks he's so holy that he gets up and goes, and so on. So we are now participating in that ghibat, even though you may not even want to do it. I mean, you may not even have thought of doing it. You may not want to do it. You might even not like what is happening. But because you don't get up and go away, you are included in that lot. And your good deeds are also going to the person who you have been slandering. Similarly, groups of people who sit around and then they are, for example, talking about the religion and talking about Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in ways which are not in keeping with his respect and with his position as the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now in such groups, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala specifically mentioned that in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that those who talk about the Nabi in this way, Allah said that they are not even Muslim. Allah said they are out of Islam. And He said, if you are with them, get up and leave, otherwise you will be counted among them. Now imagine, you sat in that group and you didn't get up because they were your friend's group. And if you got up, then you would be out of that group, which you should have been out of that group anyway, but you didn't want to be out of that group. So you sat, you continue to sit there and you are ejected out of Islam by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now how intelligent is that? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, not only has Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prohibited alcohol, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has, His Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, do not even be in the same room where alcohol is being served. Right? So forget about, obviously you don't drink it, you also don't serve it, you don't sit at the same table where it is being served, you don't even sit in the same room where it is being served. So routinely, whenever we go to a restaurant, we find out, is there alcohol in that restaurant, otherwise we don't go. Now, my point is, I know many people who go to company parties, who go to team dinners, who go to company parties, who go to, for client meetings and whatnot. And may Allah forgive us, in our country, it's almost a given, and all over the West, it's a given that if it's a dinner, then there is alcohol. There is no such thing as a dinner without alcohol. Right. Now, what happens to your iman then? Because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam prohibited specifically, he said it is haram for you to sit in that room where alcohol is being served. Not only are you sitting, you are part of that party. You did not drink, you did not even serve anybody, you did not pay the bill for that, but you are part of that party. In many cases, a lot of these team dinners, the expense is shared equally among everybody. So now you are also paying for that alcohol. Because even though you didn't drink it, but whatever the bill was, it's being split equally amongst all the people. So you are paying for that alcohol. And of course, Shaitan will tell you, and the agents of Shaitan will tell you, no, but this is part of corporate life. And if you don't do that, you know, they will say you are antisocial. And if you don't do that, you will get a bad mark on your performance appraisal and you will not get promoted. Believe me, I'm a corporate consultant. I worked in corporate organizations for 16 years. I'm not a consultant straight out of college. I worked in corporate organizations 16 years. I was told all the same stories. I said, I will not drink, I will not serve alcohol, and I will not go to parties where alcohol is being served. They said, your career will go down the drain. I had the fastest track career that anyone ever had in my company. Because one thing which I realized very early in life is that your client, whether it's your client, business client, whether it is somebody you're working with or whoever, your client is interested only in one thing, and that is quality output of your work. He did not hire you to drink whiskey. He did not hire you to serve him whiskey. He hired you for a job. So do the job. Do the job better than anyone else will do it, and he doesn't care whether you drink or you don't drink or what. To the extent, we were living once in the tea gardens, and I was the boss at that point in time. There was nobody else, and the directors were coming to stay with me, and one of our directors was known to be someone who simply could not do without alcohol. So we were told, my boss told me, he said to me, what are you going to do now? Because, you know, he has to have a drink. I said, I don't care, tell him to stay in a hotel. He said, you're mad. I said, no, I'm not mad. I'm telling you, this is my house. I don't care if the company owns it, but this is my house. Nobody drinks in my house, simple as that. If he's staying with me, he's going to drink outside. The man, he respected it to the extent where he would come, he would have his drink in the club, then he would come home and he would have dinner. He would not drink in the house. This is all in our minds. We think, oh, I will not get promoted. So don't get promoted. If in fact you are working in an organization, if this is a fact, if you're working in an organization where you will not get promoted unless you go to a team dinner or a company party in which alcohol is served, if that is the condition, then to work in that organization is haram for you. Leave the organization. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is your razib. That company is not your razib. What do you care? Sorry, I'm not interested. I will not come. You hired me for my work. You hired me for, was it part of my interview question? Do you drink? Do you serve alcohol? Do you go to a company party? No. You asked me about my technical competence. You asked me about my experience. I told you that. You liked it. You hired me. That is why I'm here. I'm here to work. I'm not here to socialize. This becomes a bigger fitna. also for the women, because free association and free mixing and socializing between men and women in Islam is not permissible. A woman is only allowed to work under certain conditions, and she is allowed to interact with men under certain conditions, provided she is wearing hijab and provided she is following the sunnah and provided she, her interaction is purely on a professional basis. So if a doctor dealing with patients and so on and so forth, and if it's a professional basis. But there is no scope for just hanging out and socializing and whatnot in any case, even if there is no alcohol. Now, on top of that, you are hanging out, socializing in a party in which the alcohol is being served. Which Islam is this? Who are you trying to please? If you die there, then you are going to be resurrected in your unhijabed state in a bunch of non-mahram men and other women like you, who are some of whom are drinking alcohol. Is this how you want to be resurrected on the Day of Judgment? So seriously, we have to think about these things, and we must not fall into, and the root cause of all this is these groups, is these friendship groups, is these groups of friends who compel you and me to do things which really we don't even want to do. I mean, I know many of the sisters who are in companies working and so on, many of the brothers, they don't want to do it, but they feel pressured. They feel pressured, oh, but I have to do it. If I don't do it, what will happen to my career? Nothing will happen to your career, number one. Number two, if your career really depends, if you're working in an organization which really depends on the kind of quality of whiskey that you are drinking or somebody else is serving, or you are being part of that group, then being in that organization is haram for you. Leave the organization. Allah is your Razik. That organization is not your Razik. You people obviously don't respect your competence. They are there because, are you a bartender or something? I mean, is that your job? you're worried about that? So seriously, we have to ask ourselves these questions, that we will not do something which is prohibited. Now, very, very important for us, therefore, to remember that to have the right kind of friend, as I explained to you, I gave you the dalil of the Quran. There is nothing more authentic than the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The dalil for good friends and the dalil also for bad friends. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to choose the right company, and that's why it is a good idea to have a group of good friends, meet people and so on and so forth. Take your children, let them meet those people, inculcate in them a love of being with good people. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, in one hadith, he said, Rasulullah said that a group, a meeting, a gathering in which the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not mentioned is cursed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, who is going to mention the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a gathering of people who are not even Muslim and who are probably sitting and having alcohol and drinking and so on in the name of a good time? You think Allah is being mentioned there? What kind of company is that? So shun such company, leave them. You don't need them. They don't need you. And if you also think about this, if you say something clearly and say, I will not come to this party because alcohol is being served, that is a door which is opening for dawah. People might even start off by saying, oh, you are an extremist. That's why I forget. I don't care what you think. I'm here to work. Khalas, I'm doing my work. Now, this meeting, I cannot come because of this reason. Then somebody will ask you, so what is the issue with alcohol in Islam and so on? So it opens the door for you to introduce Islam, for you to do da'wah. So there's so many good things which happen in this particular case, right? We were doing the LEC in London and in the hotel. So we had asked for halal food. So the chef took a lot of trouble. He researched and whatnot and so on. And then some dishes were labeled as halal. An elderly Irish lady, it turned out, comes there. And she said, what is this halal? This is, she said, we cannot eat this. What is the meaning of halal? You mean they are worshipping, they prayed on some idol before they did this, they made this food? What does it mean? Then one of our brothers, Salim Chaktai, he went to her. And he explained to her what is halal. He said, it is the exact opposite of what you are saying. Halal means that no idol has been worshipped. He said, oh, I didn't know that. She said, then I can eat it. And she ate it. Now think about this. All this conversation happened. She got introduced to the concept of halal. She got introduced even to Islam because there was a tag there saying halal. If there was no tag, she would not have asked any question. She would have eaten the food and gone. But because there was a tag saying halal, then she... Originally, she came there opposing it. But because she came there, because there was a tag, and even though she opposed it, somebody went and spoke to her. So it opened the door for her to understand something about Islam. So it opens the door for da'wah. So don't be afraid, don't be hesitant to talk about your religion. We are not thieves, we are not here to steal anything, we are not here to deceive anybody. We are here to give people something good, which is what we do, we want to share it. And there's no compulsion on anybody. You don't want to take it, don't take it, but this is what we have, right? So, and that's why it's very important for us, keep the right kind of friends and reject the wrong kinds of friends, and don't allow any shaitan to fool you to say that unless you have certain friends and you are in certain groups and you go to certain parties and you go to certain, whatnot, that your career will go there, your career will go nowhere. Your career is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not in the hands of some stupid idiot who thinks that drinking alcohol takes your career forward. It does not. So very, very clear, keep the right kind of friends and stay away from and shun and delete the wrong kinds of friends from your life. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajmain bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.